From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Australian COVID-19 infections set to hit one-month low. Indonesia and Canada collaborate in medical, nuclear, and agricultural technology. Now the news in detail. Australia was on track on Tuesday to record its lowest one-day rise in new COVID-19 infections in a month, buoying hopes that a stringent lockdown in the country's second most populous state has prevented a fresh wave of cases nationally. As quoted by Reuters Tuesday, Victoria, the epicenter of Australia's latest COVID-19 outbreak, said it detected 222 cases in the past 24 hours, while the country's most populous state, New South Wales, reported three new infections. Although not all other states had reported on Monday, most have effectively eliminated the virus, putting the country on course to post its lowest one rise since 212 cases on July 18. The likely national figure is well below the more than 700 infections detected in a single day earlier this month, although authorities urge some caution. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte has decided to relax the lockdown that has been imposed on Metro Manila and four other provinces since August 4 to save the economy. President Rodrigo Duterte said in a televised address on Monday, August 17, that the Philippine capital would return to a more relaxed lockdown on Wednesday, August 19, as the government tries to support the economy while limiting the spike in coronavirus cases. Duterte explained that Metro Manila and nearby provinces such as Bulacan, Cavite, Laguna, and Rizal will impose general community quarantine. General community quarantine rule means that public transport is allowed at reduced capacity and certain businesses are allowed to operate at 50 to 100% of their regular capacity. Shopping centers are also allowed to operate, although only certain kiosks and shops are allowed to open. There was a need to reopen the economy with small and medium enterprises barely surviving, while at the same time calling on the public to follow the safeguard.
We want to ensure the safety of our people, you know. However, some sectors in our economy, especially the MSMEs, are barely surviving.
Hari Rok, Duterte's spokesman, said that under the lax lockdown that took effect on August 19, most businesses, including the dinner service, would be allowed to reopen. Religious services will also be permitted, provided houses of worship limit total attendance to 30% of the building capacity. Experts from the University of the Philippines recommended extending the lockdown by 15 days. They said in their latest report that COVID-19 cases could be pushed down to 210,000 by the end of the month if strict movement restrictions were put in place for another 2 weeks. Experts warned that premature easing of the lockdown could lead to at least 40,000 more cases. According to Health Ministry data, the Philippines has the highest number of coronavirus cases in Southeast Asia. recording a total of 164,474 infections so far, and the number of deaths from COVID-19 rising to 2,681. South Korea has reported 246 new cases of the coronavirus, its fifth consecutive day of a triple-digit increase as the virus continues to spread quickly in the greater capital area, where churches have emerged as major clusters. As stated by APnews.com on Tuesday, the figures announced by South Korea Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Tuesday pushed the five-day total to 959 and the national caseload to 15,761, including 306 deaths. The center said 202 of the new cases were reported from the densely populated Seoul metropolitan area, home to half of South Korea's 51 million population, where health workers have been struggling to track transmissions stemming from church gatherings, restaurants, schools, and workers. Northern Seoul Church, led by a bitter critic of South Korean President Moon Jae-in, has emerged as a major cluster of infections, with health workers as of Monday afternoon detecting more than 300 infections linked to its members. The Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, has postponed the country's general election by a month amid a spike in coronavirus cases. As stated by BBC.com Monday, the vote was due to take place on 19 September, but will now be held on 17 of October instead. Ardern said on Monday that the new date would allow parties to plan around the range of circumstances we will be campaigning under. Earlier this week, the country's largest city went back into lockdown. Ardern said this decision gives all parties time over the next 9 weeks to campaign and the Electoral Commission enough time to ensure an election can go ahead, and she had absolutely no intention of allowing any further delays to the vote. Now we move to the national news. Indonesian Consul General in Toronto, Canada, Leonard F. Hutabarat, encouraged Indonesian higher education institutions to collaborate with Canada in developing technology of medical nuclear and agriculture. It was stated by the Indonesian Consul General in Toronto when he became a guest speaker in a webinar themed Internationalizing Higher Education Opportunities for Collaborations between Canada and Indonesia recently. Information Function Staff of Social and Culture of Indonesian Consulate General Toronto, Stormio Stefanos Pate, told Antara London on Monday that the webinar was held by an online education platform in collaboration with the International Association of Scientists. It aimed at developing Indonesian higher education by encouraging wider collaboration with Canadian higher education institutions. The Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia in Shanghai held a ceremony to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the independence of the Republic of Indonesia on August 17, 2020 at 9:30 local time. The ceremony was held at the Shanghai World Trade Exhibition Center, China, and was attended by around 100 Indonesian citizens. The Consul General of the Republic of Indonesia in Shanghai, Denny Wahyudi Kurnia, and along with the staff and family members of the Indonesian Consulate General, as well as several Indonesian students and business people in China, participated in the commemoration. Voice of Indonesia contributor Kevin Chow reported, before entering the venue, guests must show a green code on the health scan result barcode. The head of social and cultural information of the Indonesian Consulate General in Shanghai, Wandi Adriano, explained that the ceremony was carried out simply because it was still in a pandemic situation. We gathered together to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the independence of the Republic of Indonesia at the Indonesian Consulate in Shanghai. The ceremony took place solemnly, with full simplicity, considering that all of us are still in the COVID-19 pandemic. The commemoration began with a flag-raising ceremony with remarks from the Consul General Denny Wahyudi Kurnia, followed by lunch and entertainment. The last item, President Director of Radio Republik Indonesia RRI M. Rohanuddin launched a collection of rhyme and poetry Speak Kindly at the Poetry Appreciation Night held at the auditorium of RRI Jakarta on Monday night, August 17. The collection of rhyme and poetry received appreciation from a number of figures. One of them is the chairman of the Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, Firly Bahuri. He said when he read it, his national spirit arose. Meanwhile, chairman of Commission 1 of the House of Representatives, DPR, Muti Hafiz, also appreciated Rohanuddin's poetry. She said that finding out solutions of national problems is not enough by politics, but also by works of art. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
The commemoration of the 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence 2020
is theme Indonesia Maju or Onwards Indonesia. Representing the Pancasila, our state and nation life guidance, which was perfected by logo that says, Proud of Indonesian products, as efforts to nurture people's love for national products.
The anniversary logo looks like the shield of Garuda Pancasila with onwards in the nature beneath it, symbolizing economic equality and growth for Indonesian people and also the real progress of the effort to present the best for people of Indonesia.
Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling TNI and Polri need to be involved in handling pandemic. President Joko Widodo appointed Army Chief of Staff General Andika Perkasa and Deputy Chief of the Indonesian Police Commissioner General Gatot Edi Pramono to become Deputy Chairman of the Executive Committee for Handling COVID-19 and National Economic Recovery. Both of them for the position led directly by Minister for State-Owned Enterprises Erick Thohir as Chairman of the Committee. President Joko Widodo announced that the Committee for Handling COVID-19 and National Economic Recovery determined Indonesian Armed Forces TNI and the National Police Polri to coordinate the implementation of mass COVID-19 vaccination. The vaccination will be carried out starting in 2021. Various opinions have arisen regarding the involvement of the TNI and Polri in the response to the COVID-19 pandemic. In this regard, The government emphasized that the involvement of the 10-year Polri in the Executive Committee for Handling COVID-19 and National Economic Recovery is for public order. Presidential spokesperson for legal affairs, Dini Purwono, in a written statement on Sunday said that the 10E and Polri in the committee would not take care of economic matters and law enforcement but would focus on controlling efforts. Dini further stated that the presence of the 10E and Polri in handling COVID-19 is most necessary, especially in an effort to uphold community discipline in adhering the health protocols more intensely, broadly and massively. The 10E and Polri are also needed to assist difficult technical matters if only done by bureaucrats. Take, for example, the distribution of social assistance. Dini also explained that referring to Law No. 34-2004 on the 10E and 10E carries out the main tasks of military operation apart from war, including assisting the government in overcoming natural disasters. Meanwhile, in the regulation concerning the National Police, the main task of the National Police is to protect the safety of body and soul, property, society, and the environment from disturbances of order and disasters. This includes providing assistance by upholding human rights. In fact, many countries have also involved the security forces in handling the COVID-19 pandemic, even large democratic countries. Moreover, the social and economic impact in almost all countries is very bad. It is necessary to involve all elements in society to cope with the pandemic and its impact. It is more necessary for Indonesia, which has declared the COVID-19 pandemic a national non-natural disaster. Undeniably, the 10E and Polri have played a significant role in overcoming the effect of massive natural disaster such as Aceh tsunami, Yogyakarta earthquake, and Lombok and Palu earthquake. Amid the COVID-19 pandemic on national scale, the participation of the 10E and Polri in handling it is, of course, more strategic and more desirable. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Warm greetings to you all. I'm Julio Arturo Cárdenas, Ambassador of Peru to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationship between Peru and Indonesia get stronger and provide benefits to the people of the two beautiful countries. Dirgahayu, Republic Indonesia. Viva Indonesia!
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Was News of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. I'll begin with August 18, 1945, when Constitution of the Republic of Indonesia passed. After independence was proclaimed on August 17, 1945, an official constitution is in a country had to be formulated immediately. Finally, on August 18, 1945, a day after the Indonesian independence, passed the Constitution of the Republic of Indonesia and by acclamation chose and appointed Sukarno and Muhammad Hatta as the first president and vice president of Indonesia. After the 1998 reform era, the 1945 Indonesian constitution has been amended 3 times. I'll continue with August 18, 1964. South Africa is prohibited from participating in the 18 Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. The International Olympic Committee, IOC, banned South Africa from participating in the 18 Olympics held in Tokyo. This was a form of rejection on criticism of the racist apartheid policy in force in the country. The decision was taken in the city of Lucerne, Switzerland. South Africa was allowed to return to Olympics in 1992 when the apartheid law was lifted in the country. I'll end today in history with 18 August 1971, when New Zealand withdrew its troops from the Vietnam War. New Zealand decided to send troops to the Vietnam War in 1964 out of Cold War and alliance consideration. It was then in New Zealand's national interest to fight communists in Southeast Asia. Although New Zealand's involvement in the Vietnam War was minimal, it sparked a large anti-Vietnam War movement at home. Finally, on August 18, 1971, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Keith Holyoake, announced before the Parliament the withdrawal of troops from Vietnam. The announcement coincided with the withdrawal of Australian troops from the Vietnam War. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
I am Valery Kalitnik, Ambassador of the Republic of Belarus to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationship between Belarus and Indonesia get stronger and provide benefit to the people of the two countries. Cyber harap Indonesia damai sejahtera dan pembangunan sukses. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
sampai akhir menutup mata.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitled 1 year of the ICCEPA agreement, Indonesia has the potential to increase trade with Chile. Chile is the only country in Latin America that has a comprehensive economic partnership agreement with Indonesia through the Indonesia-Chile Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, ICCEPA. Which has been in effect since August 10, 2019. Thereby, the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs encouraged business actors to take advantage of the ICCEPA and increase trade between Indonesia and Chile in general through the 9th edition of the online seminar Indonesia, the Americas, with the team exploring the potential of Indonesia-Chile business, as quoted on gamlu.go.id. The enactment of ICCEPA means the elimination of tariffs for 7,669 Indonesian products to Chile. 78.3% of products immediately received zero tariffs. Indonesian products that receive a 0% in the Chilean market are agricultural products, canned fishery products, and manufactured products. Since 1 year of ICCEPA implementation, it can be seen that Indonesian entrepreneurs have not taken full advantage of the agreement. The factor identified as the cause is the low utilization of this agreement. In addition, there is a global pandemic and a lack of information and capacity of Indonesian entrepreneurs in exporting goods to South America. Therefore, dissemination of information and capacitation of entrepreneurs are considered important, especially for micro, small, and medium enterprises. Indonesian Ambassador to Chile, Muhammad Ansor, who was also present as a guest speaker at the seminar, stated that there must be a special forum for SMEs to facilitate exports and sort out products according to standard. This is in line with the plan to establish an Indonesian trading house or Indonesian shop in the South American region, which is a collaboration among the Indonesian Retail Entrepreneurs Association, APRINDO, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and the Indonesian Export Financing Agency, LPEI. One of the important factors to support the success of opening this Indonesian shop is participation of Indonesian diasporas as either a partner or an operational actors to market Indonesian products in the region. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumati. Thank you for listening.
Namaste. I am Pradeep Kumar Rawat, Ambassador of India to Indonesia. I convey best wishes and greetings to the friendly people of Indonesia on the 75th Independence Day. Salamat Hari Kemerdekaan. India has just celebrated its Independence Day on 15th August. As our two democratic nations celebrate our national days, I wish that India-Indonesia comprehensive strategic partnership will grow from strength to strength for mutual benefit of our two peoples. I believe that a strong India-Indonesia partnership is a pillar of strength for regional peace, security, and economic prosperity.
Voice of Indonesia COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Harib COVID-19 bibaqaikum fil manazil.
Zaman gegen corona, we're bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Bleib thuis. Was je handen met zeep, draag je masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the
Ibu Pertiwi sedang bersusah hati. Air matanya berlinang. Mas intannya terkenang. Tan gunung sawah lautan, simpanan kekayaan. Kini ibu sedang lara, rintih dan berdoa.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about the Istana Negara or State Palace of Indonesia. Stay tuned. Listener, in commemorating Independence Day on August 17th, every year, the government holds a state ceremony at the Merdeka Palace Complex, Jakarta. This year, the state ceremony was held, although in limited conditions due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Actually, in the complex, there is another palace besides the Merdeka Palace, called the Istana Negara or the State Palace. The State Palace is used as a venue for the state events, among others, the inauguration of high-ranking state officials, national working meetings, national and international congresses, and state banquets. The State Palace is located on Jalan Rijswijk, now Jalan Veteran, number 17, Central Jakarta. The building is adjacent to the Ciliwung River and flanked by the Bina Graha Building and the State Secretariat. This place is located opposite to the Merdeka Palace, so the two palaces often called as the Twin Palace. The building has white color with a European-style architecture taken from Greek architectural art. This palace does not have a wide and open foyer like many residential houses in Jakarta. The State Palace has 5 wide doors. In the center of the building, there is a dining room in a classic style with pillars along both sides of the room. There are 2 pavilions on the left that face into the main building. This pavilion was originally used as a residence for staffs and adjutants of the Dutch Governor General, but now this building functions as the office of the presidential household staffs. The Istana Negara was built in 1796 as a resting house. Initially, it belonged to Van Isseldijk, an official of Rar van Indi, then the ownership transferred to J.I. van Bram. When Indonesia was under British rule, the State Palace building was built into a magnificent palace with a neoclassical architectural style and became a place of honor. At this palace, Lieutenant General Raffles lived with other important people from 1811 to 1816. In 1821, this palace was purchased by the Dutch colonial government to be used as the residence of the Governor General in Batavia, because the official residence of the Dutch Governor General was at the Bogor Palace, West Java. In the 19th century, a new palace was built in the same area, especially for various official ceremonies that were attended by many people. The palace overlooks the Merdeka Square and later known as the Merdeka Palace. The State Palace was used as a residence and as an office by the Dutch Governor General Baron van der Capellen. In addition, this palace was also often used as a place to stay for high-ranking officials of the Dutch East Indies government after attending the meetings in Batavia. Until the era of Governor General De Bousterie Sainis from 1826 to 1830, the State Palace still functioned as a residence, office, and a place for meetings. In 1942, Governor General Gerda van Sarkoborg signed an agreement to hand over the Dutch East Indies government to the Japanese troops at this palace. Since that time, the State Palace has been occupied by the commander of the Japanese armed forces who controlled Java and Madura. This palace has become the residence of Shiko Shikikan, or the commander of the Japanese army who ruled Indonesian territory, namely Hitoshi Imamura, Kumakichi Harada, and General Yamaguchi. After the Indonesian proclamation of independence on 17th of August 1945, President Sukarno also stayed at the State Palace until the recognition of sovereignty on December 27, 1949. This palace was a witness of the signing of the Linggarjati Agreement. The State Palace also became the place for the signing of the negotiation tax between Indonesia and the Netherlands after the Roundtable Conference. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder, featuring Istana Negara or State Palace of Indonesia. Tomorrow we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
I am Ziad Zahreddin, the head of the Syrian Arab Republic Embassy in Jakarta. I would like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationships between the two countries, Syria and Indonesia, get better and provide the benefits to the people of the two countries. Dirgahayu Republic of Indonesia, Yanka Tujulima.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. From Indonesia to the world.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to the converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Tugasmu Sudah Selesai? Or in English, have you finished your assignment? Next, I will give a sample conversation on Tugasmu Sudah Selesai, or in English, have you finished your assignment? In the class, Kevin complained to Siri because his assignment was very difficult.
Kevin, tugas mata kuliah Bahasa Indonesia sudah selesai.
Belum, tugas mata kuliah Bahasa Indonesia sulit sekali.
Iya, benar sekali.
After listening to the conversation earlier, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, which is Tugasmu Sudah Selesai, or in English, Have you finished your assignment? I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Tugas mata kuliah Bahasa Indonesia sudah selesai. Tugas mata kuliah Bahasa Indonesia sudah selesai. Which means, have you finished your Indonesian language course assignment? Mata kuliah Bahasa Indonesia. Mata kuliah Bahasa Indonesia. Which means, Indonesian language course. Tugasnya sulit sekali. Tugasnya sulit sekali. Which means, the assignment is very difficult. Iya, benar. Iya, benar. Which means, yes, that's true. The sentence Tugas mata kuliah Bahasa Indonesia sulit sekali. Tugas mata kuliah Bahasa Indonesia sulit sekali. Which means the assignment for Indonesian is very difficult. Is an expression of Gavin's opinion regarding the course he is taking. To respond to an expression of opinion, you can approve or reject that opinion. If you agree, you can respond with the answer, Iya benar. Iya benar, which means, yes, that's true. Saya setuju. Saya setuju, which means, I agree. Or, saya sependapat. Saya sependapat, which means I'm of the same opinion. However, if you do not agree with the opinion, you can say it with a rebuttal. Saya tidak setuju. Saya tidak setuju, which means I disagree. Or saya kurang sependapat. Saya kurang sependapat, which means I don't really agree. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the conversation one more time.
Kevin, tugas mata kuliah Bahasa Indonesia sudah selesai.
Belum, tugas mata kuliah Bahasa Indonesia sulit sekali.
Iya, benar sekali.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. I'm Nugo Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Dan sampai jumpa.
I am Sajjad Haider Khan, Chargé d'Affaires of Pakistan in Jakarta. On behalf of the people and the government of Pakistan, and on my own behalf, it's a great pleasure for me to convey our warmest felicitations to brother the people of Indonesia on the occasion of 75th Independence Day of Indonesia. Pakistan and Indonesia enjoy deep-rooted, friendly and brotherly ties based on our shared history, culture and religious commonalities, as well as aspirations for global peace and stability. It's heartening to note that bilateral trade, people-to-people contact and government-to-government interaction between Pakistan and Indonesia is increasing progressively. I am positive that the existing excellent ties between the two countries will be further strengthened in the years ahead.
Dear sir, congratulations on Independence Day. As we celebrate our nation's independence, let's remember our past leaders who lost their lives in the battle for the freedom we are enjoying today. Happy 75 wonderful Independence Day of Indonesia. Thanks, Rashid Naz, Naz Radio and Internet Fan Club, Faisalabad, Pakistan.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we present a mellow song entitled Kasih Sayang Ibu to be sung by Tiaramon. The song Kasih Sayang Ibu was composed by Effendi Arif, which tells about someone's longing on his or her mother. He imagines his hometown where he lives along with a beloved mother. He also hopes to go home and hug his mother. In accordance with its lyrics, the song has slow tempo. The song, which is included in the album of The Best Malay Volume 1, is one of Malay Deli songs. Malay Deli is one of tribes who live in Deli Serdang, North Sumatra province. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Kasih Sayang Ibu sung by Tiaramon. Enjoy the song.
Terima kasih.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voiindonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.